The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
In the last few years, Akhil Sharma has published quite a few short stories and essays in The New Yorker. His novels include Family Life and An Obedient Father, which won a Penn Hemingway Award. So we should all be thankful that his original plan didn't quite work out.
I am a deeply lazy man who is also incredibly greedy. I went to law school and somebody told me that while lawyers make good money, investment bankers make even more money. And everybody was applying for these jobs because everybody had the same attitude. It was wretched in many ways. There were the very, very, very nice investment banks, the Goldman Sachs and the Morgan Stanleys. And they would have their interviews in at the Charles Hotel, which was a fancy hotel in Cambridge. And then the less prosperous ones would have their events at the Sheraton Commander, which at least back then was sort of decrepit. And we would line up in the hallways of the Sheraton Commander because those of us who were not especially good applied for everything. Because why not? And so we would line up in the Sheraton Commander holding our little resumes, waiting to go in for interviews. And even among a group of people who were unqualified, I felt that I was especially unqualified. I knew nothing about math. I had no background which suggested finance. I wasn't even sure what exactly finance was, what exactly investment bankers did. And I would arrive in these interviews and they would ask me things like, what would you do in this situation or that situation? And the only phrase that I really knew was discount cash flow. So I would offer that up for everything. And at some point they said to me, okay, other than that, how else can you value a company? And then I just became quiet. You know, I knew right away that there was no reason to hire me. And so I thought the only way that they would hire me was if I could tell a convincing story. And so these guys looked at me. They saw that I was a brown guy, an Indian. And they were very open to the stories of me being an immigrant. And at some point, I decided to start lying. I began telling stories about working at a 7-Eleven, about working at gas stations. And then because I was telling these stories and these didn't seem pitiful enough, I also claimed that I worked at a 7-Eleven and a gas station at night. I was always something of a writer, and so I enjoyed making up these details. The kids who would come in Saturday night and begin stealing candy and comic books and bags of potato chips, or leaving in the morning when my shift was over and smelling like hot dogs. The alcoholics who would show up at 2 in the morning to buy beer, or the fat blonde prostitute who would come out and hang out at the gas station. They loved this stuff. They were great stories because they weren't true. Look, I grew up with nice middle-class parents in Edison, New Jersey. You know, I did not grow up in great deprivation. I was playing right along with their expectations. which frankly I did not mind, you know, like, hey, man, if you are willing to see me in this ridiculous way, then I'm happy to take advantage of that. And so they, you know, so I would keep moving on and moving on to do these interviews. And usually the people who have no patience for stories are the people who actually do the work. So the associates and the junior VPs, because they're the poor schnooks who are up there late at night, you know, making sure that everything in the Excel model is working. And almost always they were the guys who would ding me, who would say, look, come on, this guy knows nothing. He would be terrible. We can't have him around. What is he going to do? He's going to sit around and tell stories. And I finally did an interview with somebody. I think the junior VP I was supposed to interview with was called into a meeting, and so he couldn't interview me. And I knew right then that I was going to get the job. And a couple of days later, I got a job offer, and I accepted on the spot. Because my thinking was these people could come to their senses. So I said, yes, I'll take it. And the guy seemed quite surprised because I wasn't trying to negotiate. I wasn't trying to, you know, I didn't even say, hey, I'd love to work for you. I just said, I'll take it. And then, of course, the next thing I asked was, when do I get my signing bonus?
Former investment banker and novelist, Akhil Sharma.
I remember later on when I was a banker, I was great with clients because it was the same thing. You know, the shtick I could handle, the actual work was a bit beyond me.
Sharma is a professor of creative writing at Rutgers University, and you can find everything he's written for The New Yorker at newyorkerradio.org.